Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Brick and Mortar Visibility. How are you? I am psyched because today is going to be an amazing episode. I am super excited about our guest, which I will introduce to you in a little bit. But I am very excited about a client that had some huge success. And I just have to tell you guys first. So thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming in live. Thanks for coming in real time, because this is just hot off the presses because I was just doing a follow-up email with her and wanted to see what the results were. So you are hearing it. Like, you guys are my first people I'm telling. I'm just geeking out right now because I'm so excited for her. For those of you that don't know, I have a brick and mortar business, and I've had my brick and mortar business for 15 years. And I am super passionate about SEO and being the only option in town. I want your business, when people Google for your products or services or pain points or desires, that your business comes up first. And I was at a conference in February. And I was telling the person at the table who, you know, because we were there for dance studio owners, and most of us have other side hustles. You know, as entrepreneurs, we all have a side hustle on top of our business, right? And she found out what I did. And I said, yeah, I help you be the only option in town. She goes, I need you. I need you. I've been in business 26 years and I don't come up on Google. And she started telling me her pain points. And I said, well, let me see your website. And we pull it up and I'm like, your website is beautiful. It's not that. You have tons of keywords here. You're not being cute or cheeky. You're telling exactly who you are, what you do, who you serve. What's happening is that she's not connected to her Google business profile. And I said, you need to optimize that. And I think we can get real results there. And she was hesitant. She's like, well, I think I just need to redo my website. And I'm like, no, we need to connect the dots. We need to plug the toast into the outlet to get toast. Okay, the toaster into the outlet to get toast. You can't just put bread in the toaster and hope to get toast. So that's what happens a lot, is that we create this great website, we put all the energy in there, and then we are not connecting it to the energy of Google, because most people are Googling you, and I've talked about this so much on the podcast. People don't talk about their service experience or their product experience until after they buy. They're searching on their phone. They're not really asking people for referrals anymore. They're telling you after they've already experienced, okay? They're telling people after they've experienced. So we booked a VIP day, and this VIP day was probably 6 weeks ago. When we first started, y'all, she was like on page four. Like, I had to click through quite a bit to find her business. You guys, I just Googled her business, and now she's on the first page. And she's number 11. That is a huge uptick in such a short amount of time. So what we did is we did a VIP day, 3 hours of optimizing that Google business profile right then and there. But then I also went into her website and we just tweaked some things in her headings, meta description, give her little tips that I saw here and there that could help her. Her website genuinely was good. These were just little tweaks. This needs to be fixed right here. Add this. And she did it. So I was just helping her out, consulting her on what she needs to do. And 6 weeks later, you guys, 6 weeks later, she's on page one, not page four. And that will improve over time as long as she's consistently updating her website via a blog and updating her Google business profile. So if you do not know what I mean and you want to be found first in your industry on Google, you need to grab my Google business profile. So this is by going to MsMelissaRose.com/deals, and all the goods are there. And you can sign up for my newsletter as well as grab this free workshop. It's about 35 minutes long and you can go step by step on what you need to do to optimize that Google business profile, you guys. It is game changing, and so many business owners don't take it. If you are a health and wellness practitioner, I want to share a couple events for you. I love my health and wellness people, and that is why I'm sharing this, because a lot of you are within that industry. You're brick and mortar business owners and you are servicing your community with chiropractic care or massage therapists or physical therapists or holistic health treatments, nutritionists, all the things. And if you are that type of person, I have a workshop from Joanna Sapir. Joanna was on the podcast a few months ago, and she talked about coaching health and wellness practitioners. So she has a workshop that is geared for you to help you put the systems and strategies in place for a resilient, streamlined, and more profitable wellness business. This is a free workshop, and the link is in the bio here, joannasapir.com/empowered. Go grab this workshop. It's on May 6th to the 10th, and I guarantee you're going to walk away with some great tools, tips, and strategies to help you in your business. Another resource I have for my health and wellness practitioners is Healthy in the Valley. Now, this is more local. This is for the St. Croix Valley, so Hudson, Stillwater, River Falls, Eastern Minnesota. For those of you that are in that area, Healthy in the Valley is a resource for you to get more visibility to help amplify the marketing efforts you are already doing. Our mission for Healthy in the Valley is to encourage and empower our community to make choices about their health and wellness that support them and the local businesses around them, so our entire community can thrive. So if you are a health and wellness business owner here in the St. Croix Valley, I invite you to check out healthyinthevalley.com and join the exclusive group of business owners who enrich, enhance, and empower our community through health and wellness in mind, body, and soul. Now on to our beautiful guest that we have today. You guys, I am a little starstruck because I have been listening to Nikki since 2020, and we learned that we both started our podcast at the same time. However, she is just polished and refined and lovely. And when you listen to her, you genuinely feel like you could sit down and hang out because she just has this beautiful energy. So here we are, Nikki Rausch, coming on to the Brick and Mortar Visibility Podcast. Nikki has the unique ability to transform the misunderstood process of selling. With 25 years of experience selling to prestigious organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and NASA, Nikki shattered sales records and received top producer awards along the way. Today, entrepreneurs and small business owners hire Nikki to show them how to sell successfully and authentically. And that is where she shines. She is just beautiful at what she does. And that's all I can say is just, you don't even feel like she's selling. She's just very, very authentic and relaxed. And she teaches these tips, tools, and strategies to her people through her podcast and her membership. So I am just super excited for y'all to learn from Nikki. We talk specifically more about us brick and mortar business owners, where our selling literally is face to face. It's not so much through a Zoom or over an email. Our selling comes face to face, and she gives us some really good tips. If you want to watch this interview, please come on over to my YouTube channel. I'll link it here in the bio as well, because she does do some physical things to help us understand how to create that energy and atmosphere so that the sale is even easier. I'm super excited for y'all to meet Nikki. Enjoy the podcast and please comment, like, share it with your business bestie. And now, without further ado, the beautiful Nikki Rausch. You've put your blood, sweat, and tears into creating a storefront that lights you up, serves your clients well, and contributes significantly to the community you love. You are my hero, and I affectionately call you a rebel woman. Hey there, my name is Melissa Rose, a brick and mortar business owner with a handful of kiddos and a few passion projects that I head up like this one. I'm also your visibility coach and consultant for a service-based business like yours. I'm passionate about helping small business owners thrive in their community and become the only option in town for their industry. In this podcast, we're going to share the nitty-gritty of running a successful brick and mortar business by sharing stories, talking strategies, and learning practical tips to run a kick-ass business. Ready to be inspired, empowered, and equipped to create the small business of your dreams? Let's get real. Nikki Rausch, welcome to the Brick and Mortar Visibility Podcast. It is so, so good to meet you and have you here.
Oh, Melissa, thank you so much. I'm really honored to be here and get to spend this time with you.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn from you. All right, you do sales. You talk all things sales. Before we dive into sales, tell us just a little bit about who you are as a person.
Oh my gosh, who am I as a person? I'm a lifelong learner. I'm somebody who's super committed to personal and professional development, and I invest a lot of time and energy in that. I'm also somebody who absolutely loves people, but is an introvert by nature. So I love to be around people, and I love quiet time. And ultimately, my favorite thing to do in the whole world is to take a walk by the river in the town that I live in with my husband. And that is like my purest moment of joy.
I was just going to ask, what do you do as an introvert? Because I'm an introvert too. Like I need my quiet. Like
yeah.
Anybody who knows me, it's like you get to talk to her between 9 and yes. like little windows of time. And yeah. It doesn't pose well for the dating life, but it works. So walking by the river. And where is home for you?
Boise, Idaho.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I was in Seattle for 27 years and, but I grew up here and so this is my hometown and moved back a few years ago and just trying to, you know, find the things here that speak to me. And really it's the river.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. All right. So you NLP, you talk a lot about that on your podcast. Tell us what makes that different or what's special about that?
So NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming for anybody who is wondering what that acronym is. And it's really the study of communication. So I have a pretty extensive background of studying it. I'm master certified practitioner of NLP. And the most easiest way to explain it or the most basic way to explain it is it's really how you process information in your brain, not just you, but your clients or the person you're in conversation with, the way that you speak. So the self internal dialogue you've got going on, but also the external dialogue and how people speak to you. So that's the language part of, or the linguistics part of NLP. And then it's also about habits and patterns. So to break it down, when you understand how people are showing up in their conversations with you and in their life and how you're showing up, it allows for you to add flexibility to your behavior so that the conversation can run more smoothly because you can make adjustments, tiny adjustments really, to your own style to put the other person at ease. So it helps you deepen connection, relationship, and gives you some insight on what is going to be potentially the most comfortable for the other person. So my all-time favorite quote is, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape." And I think NLP teaches you how to be flexible.
I love that. Yeah. And as a dancer, that's funny. Yeah. okay. So that kind of, I wanted to start with that.
Okay.
Because as listeners, many of you are brick and mortar business owners, although this is geared for anybody, SEO that I talk about all the time is geared for business owners, but a lot of us are brick and mortar business owners. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us are doing that sales, genuinely face to face,
yes,
body to body, like in the same room. And that's a little different than being on the screen or, yes, over an email or whatever. So I want to talk about that and lean into that. And before we go there, as a business owner myself, I was thinking about this podcast, what questions I wanted to ask you. And I know I am weak and I need help in empowering my team to sell. Mm-hmm. I know my admin, my right-hand person who does all the emails and calls, she's doing it, but I bet she could be even better. And she would probably say that as well. How do we as leaders help me empower my team? Maybe some mindset stuff there, but also like logistic stuff to do that.
Yeah. So first and foremost, from a mindset standpoint is you have to reward the behaviors that you want in your team. So there are some things that you can do to really get your team kind of moving in the direction around having sales be a component of their responsibility. Now, the other thing is you can't just assume because somebody has a bubbly personality or they're really good with clients that they're going to be comfortable with the sales process. There's very little, if any, sales training that people ever receive in their life or in their career or in school, or like sales training isn't something that's normally taught in most like traditional, you know, institutions. Mm-hmm. So your job is to provide them with some tools, some training. And there's lots of ways that you can do that. You could buy them books. You could bring in a trainer like me. You could, have them take some online courses. There's lots of ways to get them access. But if you really want your team to sell, then it has to be a part of the conversation. It has to be a part of the team meetings every week or month, how often you're meeting with your team. And you want to start to reward some behavior so that people understand what's required of them. So I, you know, have a background of managing a large sales team as part of my career. And because of that, I have designed a ton of contests and tons of ways to incent my sales team to perform. I have now taken those skills and I actually apply those even to my like group coaching program. These people are not, you know, they're not necessarily my sales team and they're not selling for me. But what I do is I do all kinds of things to reward the behavior that I want. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, I see it over and over again. You have to track it. You have to post it regularly. They have to be able to see it all the time. And especially if you have multiple people on your team, that's actually a really good thing, because what can sometimes happen is you'll have like your standout performer. You'll have your person who's really comfortable with sales and they'll kind of always be at the top of the leaderboard. And that's awesome. They'll love that. What you want to do though, is when you have multiple people, by tracking things and putting things in front of them all the time so they know where they are in relation to everybody else. Let's say you have four people. The goal is to entice number four to want to beat number three, and number three to want to beat number two, and number two to want to strive to get to number one. And by doing this, it drives sales up sales just goes up as a result of tracking and the behaviors that you want, the things you want them to do. And it has to be really clear of what constitutes success, like constitutes a sale. And you know, again, training. They've got to have some language to do it, because selling is not natural for most people. And there's a learn, you know, it's like anything, you have to learn, and expecting them to come in and already know like all of your processes, you put them through a training program. Mm-hmm. You should want to put them through a training program for sales too.
I'm guilty. I'm completely guilty on that, because we all, for me, I'm thinking, okay, we have to get them just knowing their track, knowing what they're doing. And then the sales comes down to me as the business owner, and then as my admin, who's really got the connection with the families as a studio owner. For those of you that don't know, I have a dance studio. So I don't think of my, and I should, but I don't think of my teachers as salespeople. I think of them as instructors, and they should be there to nurture and love the students and be totally present with them. But selling to them can also mean, hey, have you thought about taking this other class, like an upsell or an additional class versus like cold. I often tell my team, you guys have star power. You're out in the community. You're out and about, you know, people. That's the first thing they'll do is ask what you do for a job. But I need to empower them and just literally telling them in the team meeting and letting them know. And maybe giving them that script of like,
yeah, like you just give them some, and it's, you know, I give a lot of scripts, but not with the intent of like, you have to say it exactly how I say it. It's more around like, here's a structure. Here's what it could sound like. And when they can hear somebody say it in a way that's like, oh, that seems easy. And that's actually the feedback I get all the time. People are like, this seems really easy. And it's like, yeah, it should be easy. It's conversational. And when it's easy, it's more likely that they'll actually say it. So in the example that you gave of like, they're in a class, they've got students in a class, teaching them how to just plant seeds. And plant seeds, here's just one example of it. One of the students has a question. The teacher can just answer the question. That doesn't really plant a seed. It's great because you want the answer. But if you teach your teachers how to plant seeds by saying, you know what, that's actually a technique that we really focus on in this this class. Mm-hmm. And here's an answer for you. Like, so you're still answering the question, but you're planting a seed of like, there's this other class that's going to get you the deeper dive or get you the technique that you're, you know, wanting to learn or whatever that is. Planting seeds can also just make a huge difference. If you can get your people to just plant seeds, because what will happen is the students in the class are going to be like, so how do I get signed up for that? Now mm-hmm. they're going to make it easy, right? Now they're mm-hmm. giving buying signals. How do I get signed up for that? Now either the teacher can say, this is how you get signed up. Or what I want the teacher to say is like, oh, we can sign you up today if you'd like. Mm-hmm. Like, here's how to do it. Mm-hmm. Or they send them to you or to the admin person mm-hmm. to like take it from there. Mm-hmm. But those little planting seed exercises, and that's something you could practice with them, mm-hmm. right? Of like, what are you going to say this week? What's your seed planting kind of statement this week when somebody asks you a question? Mm-hmm. Can you insert, oh, we have a class for that? Or can you insert, oh, we have something coming, you know, we're just about to launch all the new classes. We're taking, you know, early registration is now open, like, or whatever it is, but give them some language to plant seeds and then reward some behavior. So if they send somebody and you ask, maybe you ask the student, like, how did you find out about this class? Oh, my teacher mentioned it today in, you know, in class. Great. Like, let's give them some kind of a check mark, or they get some kind mm-hmm. of a reward in it. You know, they earn so many and they get some kind mm-hmm. of a bonus or some kind of a, you know, mm-hmm. gift or whatever you decide you want to do to incent them. Mm-hmm. But salespeople are often motivated by two things, money and reward. money and recognition.
Recognition, now, yeah.
Yeah. So now most of your people don't qualify themselves as salespeople. So money might not always be the motivator, mm-hmm. but recognition mm-hmm. probably will drive some behavior. So recognize.
It's so interesting because I do, when I intake my team, I ask them their love languages and just to find out. So for that purpose, and I'm highly motivated by money. I'm so shocked that you're not.
Same.
Like, how are you not motivated by money? Like, yeah, they don't, same. Like when they don't put their, like they're good about putting in their hours. It's not that bad, but they're like, but I'm not a gift person. And gosh, there's some of them that gifts all day long. And that truly is such a struggle for me because I'm not a gift person. To be even a giver that way, it's really hard. Yeah. So,
I actually have somebody on my team who I call her the, like, she's my poor love on my clients. She loves the gift getting because that's not a strong suit for me either. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes it's even just if it's words of affirmation, yeah. if that's their love language. If in a team meeting, you could say, you know, Sarah, I really want to recognize the fact that your students are consistently signing up for the next classes. Thank you so much. I know that you are intentionally planting seeds in there for that. And it makes a world of difference for all of us. Thank you. If you recognize her in the group in front of everybody else, and her thing is love, like at words of affirmation, like you just shot that scale to the roof of like, oh, and now guess what? She's going to do more of it. And everybody else who's sitting in the room is going to be like, oh, I want some recognition too. So maybe I should be mentioning it. And hey, they're tracking how many of our students are actually going to the next class, like that matters. Oh, I should pay attention to that.
Love that. So good. So simple, right? But so good.
I mean, it takes effort, right?
It does. Like, that's what I mean.
It's busy. You've got a lot of things on your plate. And
but like going back to what you said, like earlier in the podcast here, like, oh, that seems doable. Like it's doable. It's totally doable. It's remembering to doing it, being intentional. It's just like raising kids, you know, reward the behavior, acknowledge what you do want to see and try to ignore the other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about the body language and tools there with talking to people?
Yes. So one of the things, I know we talked about this a little bit before we hit record, is that I teach a technique that comes from my background in neurolinguistic programming, and it's called psychogeography, which sounds like, oh my gosh, we're going to get so scientific, but I'm going to make it really simple. It has to do with the ideas that there's a connection between you and the other person. Like it's almost like you create this, it's like a circuitry. It's like an exchange of energy that's back and forth. And there was a study done years ago. They took a bunch of people and they tested based on where the person is standing or sitting in relation to where you're standing or sitting, what kind of message is received by what, and it doesn't, I mean, yes, the context matters, but realistically, they found that there were some consistencies. So there's multiple stages of like where you could be standing versus where they're standing or sitting. But I'm just going to break down the one that I actually recommend because I think it'll be really easy for people to implement this into what they're doing when they're having conversations with clients. When you have somebody that's there and you're talking about something and you want to create this, like this circuitry, this relationship of like, we're in this together, we're on the same side. You can adjust your body language to create this, like we're on the same side. So this might be easier if somebody was watching this on camera, which I think you do put these on YouTube.
I will for this one, for sure. For this one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even if you're standing with a counter in front of you, right? Like there's a counter between you and the prospective client, you can push one of your shoulders back and kind of tilt your hips a little bit and start to create like, and if we're talking about a class, let's say that I have like a brochure about the class. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put the brochure where you and I can both look at it. Mm-hmm. So you're over here, but now the brochure and the information is all over here. Mm-hmm. And we're having this conversation, but and I'm looking at what I want you to be looking at. And maybe I'm even using my finger to direct your attention.
Yeah.
And now it creates like, we're on the same side, the class information or the bill or whatever it is. That's over there. That's outside of us. We're in this together.
Yeah.
So when you can do things like that, and then the other thing I just mentioned kind of really briefly there is that you also use your eyes here. It's called the power of the gaze. When you want to direct somebody's attention to something, all you have to do is give your attention to it. Now that can feel a little weird in a sales conversation because the action is where the client is. So you want to watch them. You want to be paying attention to them. But realistically, sometimes it's actually better. If I want you to look at something, all I have to do is look at it and make it so you can see it too. And you'll want to look. And one of the ways you know this, because even on video, I don't know, we all do, you know, many of us now do a lot of video stuff. Even if somebody, if you're having a conversation with them on video and they do this thing where they're like, I just shifted my body and looked like I was looking behind where Melissa is. Uh-huh. Now, is there a part of you that wants to also like turn your head and go, what are you looking at? Right? Because you're like, even though we're not even physically in the same room, we kind of want to look. Uh-huh. And you know this when, you know, you see these videos or these memes or whatever all the time where somebody's like walking down the street and then they do this thing where they like look up and then the people that are sitting at tables, like they jump up and they look up. Like it's very human nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can use this idea of this human nature to your advantage in a sales conversation. When you want to direct somebody's attention, instead of saying like, well, look over there, you just say, so when I'm looking at this information and you're like directing your attention there and you can even like, you know, use your hand, a gesture of like, so over here, this is the information about the class, you know, or whatever. So adding the shift of your body and adding the power of your gaze will actually have more of an impact than just like standing there or doing the worst thing. And this, you do actually want to train your team to not do this of like, so here's the information of the class and they hold it in front of themselves and they like look down at it because now they're attaching themselves to the class or to whatever the information. This is really bad to do when it's like talking money or the invoice. If they're not like excited about it, you just basically rubbed it all over yourself.
Yeah.
So get it out and away from you.
Yeah. Interesting how I just went, my whole body language just seen that, what you did, like shuddered. And it's very interesting as you're talking. First of all, I'm a mover. I'm a dancer. So I just love this stuff. And then how I register people, like how I they're interested in class. I literally bring my laptop around and they stand next to me. I'm never behind the desk. It feels awkward to me. I actually walk around the desk and come because it just, how are you doing? Okay. We're just going to punt this in. Okay. Here's your credit card. And we just do it right in here.
Yep.
So I'm very, it almost feels chummy, like little close together, but that's just who I am.
Now train your team to do that.
Yeah. just right? interesting.
Like,
yeah.
It's innate to you. It's natural to you. And you feel it. Like, you feel that energy and that, mm-hmm. that physical connection. Mm-hmm. And so you're able to shift your body and adjust. Not all of your team members will have some awareness around it. Yeah. So help them have awareness around it of just making some subtle shifts. They don't have to be even big or huge, but just little bits of things. It sends the message to the other person, like, I'm in tune.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm paying attention. Yeah. And it's, you know, I always talk about this with buying signals. It's like, you got to be turned on and tuned in. And I don't mean turned on in like a, mm-hmm. you know, a sexual way, but I mean turned mm-hmm. on in like, I'm really here. I'm present.
So interesting. I love that stuff. I had a college professor that said, that suggested to me to be into body language, reading body language.
Yeah.
And, I didn't know anything about it, of course, in college. And now those are the podcasts, like when people have like body language experts, I'm like just fascinated by it because it is so true. And I do, it's just who I am as a person that I naturally do that. I don't even think of that as being something unique to me because it's so natural for me. However, I do see this glitch because this is where I also wanted to talk to you. So I have my dance studio, which I always just assume the sale. Like they're coming in, they're coming in, they're going to buy. Like it's easy. I assume the sale. However, with consulting, it's a whole different, you know, because it's not that warm and fuzzy thing that like teaching dance. I don't know if it's because, I think my excuse is, well, I've been teaching dance for 30 plus years. Like this is what I do. This, you know, it's just so second nature. And this second business that I have, you know, consulting and helping brick and mortar businesses be the only option in town with their SEO, that's a little bit more structured and more like, you know, and it shouldn't be. So I want to ask you, this is another question from other business owners, like how do you take that friends, you meet business owners, you're out networking, you're out sharing about your business, but now you have all these friends. And I literally had somebody say to me, oh, you have a networking, I don't need more friends. And I'm like, oh, is that the vibe? and then somebody else said, how do we go from friend zone to taking the business relationship? So can you give us some tips there? Like if you know somebody needs your service or hit those buying signals.
I feel like there's a multi-layer answer to this question. So you tell me at some point, you're like, cut it off with you, because I feel like I could teach a whole class on.
I'm sure you could.
It's such a great question, and it's so important. So, a couple things. One, first and foremost, is I do teach about creating curiosity, and you can do things, and it kind of goes back to this planting seed. But the way that you create curiosity when you're having conversations with your, I'm going to put in parentheses. Friends, is the way you answer questions can start to create some curiosity. So instead of just saying like, hey, you know, how have you been since I've last seen you? And then they say, well, how have you been since I've last seen you? And you go, oh, I've been great. That doesn't create any curiosity. But if you said something like, oh, I've been great. I've been launching some big projects for clients around SEO. Now, that may actually spur somebody to go, wait, Melissa, I didn't even know you did SEO. What do you mean?
Right.
Like, I need help with SEO, right? Or like some little statement that lets somebody like ask you a follow-up question. That's one thing, right? So creating curiosity, I teach a 5-step process to a sales conversation. Creating curiosity is step 2, and it is the most missed step. Most people don't know how to create curiosity when they're talking about their business or their services.
Yeah.
So if there's a part of you, anybody that's listening and they're like, I don't think I know how to create curiosity, then it's time to learn. Like, you know, like I have a book that you can get about it, or I have courses about it. I teach and talk about it all the time. You can come listen to my podcast. I talk about it on there all the time. So creating curiosity is a game changer. That's the first thing. The second thing is if you have somebody who's been in your network and you know you could help them, you know they would benefit from working with you, but you're not really sure, like, how do I, like, I don't want it to be awkward because it's friend zone. How do I move it to the business zone? Sometimes it's something as simple as saying, you know, one of the things we've never talked about is whether or not you would benefit from any of the stuff that I do. Is that ever something you want to have a conversation around? Now, that's a really soft ask, right? It's not a pushy, I'm not saying like, you know what? Girl, I looked at your website. You need some SEO help, right? Because that's not going to go over the way you think it will. People will be like, Well, I feel a little bit pinched by that. But just saying, like, you know, we've never really talked about this. Is this something you would ever find value in having a conversation around? Now it lets them go, because to them, you've never talked about it. They might be thinking, oh, I've never thought about it. Let me think about it. That's a good thing, because now they're going to actually think about it. The other thing is, they might have been thinking to themselves, I'm Melissa's friend, and it would be weird if I told her I needed help with SEO. She probably doesn't want to work with people like me. That's actually probably what's happening. And you're over here worried about, like, I don't want it to be awkward and weird, and they don't want it to be awkward and weird. Mm-hmm. So they don't know how to tell you they need help. And until you broach the topic with them, it's never going to get resolved. It will always feel like this little, like, thing that we're hiding in our relationship. So just bring it out into the open. And if they say, you know, I don't really think that's for me. Okay, now we know. We are friends. That's fine. Move mm-hmm. on in the conversation. But I can't tell you how many times I've encouraged clients to just have this, like, this little question and pose it to people. And they've come back and been like, oh my gosh, Nikki, you know what they said when I asked them? They were like, I just assumed you didn't want to work with me, so I didn't want to ask. It's like,
wow.
Yeah. Like, you will leave people feeling more satisfied with their conversations with you if you're willing to just ask simple questions. Now, notice, I mean this sincerely. It is a question. It is not telling somebody what you could do for them or how they need you or why you're so great. Don't talk at people. Talk with them. The way you talk with is you ask a question. And if you'll be willing to put yourself out there and be a little vulnerable and ask this question, people actually will love and appreciate you for mm-hmm. it, because they start to get a sense of, like, oh, I can trust you. When you have a question, you'll ask it. You also are giving them permission to ask you a question when they have one.
You feel her energy, right? You feel her beautiful energy. She has a podcast. Talk about your podcast for 2 seconds, because I want that. And then I want you to talk about the book that you just mentioned too.
Okay. Thank you. So the podcast is Sales Maven. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind it is I do solo episodes where I actually am teaching a concept. Mm-hmm. I do sales success stories where my clients come on and talk about how they use something mm-hmm. and the results that they got. And then we do on-air coaching calls.
Yeah.
I do with clients. So it's good to sometimes be kind of just the listener. So there's no pressure on you, but you might be thinking, oh, I've experienced that. So mm-hmm. there's coaching calls there. And then I do, every once in a while, I do what I call a Mastering Excellence series, where I interview somebody who's achieving exceptional results in some area of their life. And we dig in using very NLP questions to break down what is their structure of how they're achieving their level of success, so that you can look at that structure and go, oh, maybe there's a part here that mm-hmm. I'm going to emulate in my own life so that I can achieve yeah. that level of success.
Yeah. It's so good, you guys. I've been listening for so long. And then I realized we launched our podcast the same year, 2020. Yeah. And I have been listening to Nikki's podcast, and it genuinely is one of those podcasts that it's never a waste of time. I always get something out of it that, like, just the recent one about the banner, about putting your,
Shelly.
Yeah. For list building. I'm like, yep. And I put my opt-in on my podcast. I put my opt-in, you know, in newsletters, but I don't, and this is, like, sometimes foundational, like, come on, like, we did it in the beginning, but then we don't do it later on. And yeah. So it was just, yeah, everything. But then there's some really good ones that just jaw dropping. So I just value your podcast so much. Yes. So talk to us about the book that you have.
I have three books. So just
to be really clear,
but the one that's the most comprehensive about, like, my whole structure that breaks down the framework of the sales conversation is called The Selling Staircase. And that's mm-hmm. actually what I call my framework. Mm-hmm. You can get it anywhere where it's, you know, books are sold, or, you know, there's mm-hmm. Kindle versions, there's audio versions of it, but it's a pretty easy, quick read, but it will break down that sales conversation for anybody who wants a little bit of deeper dive. And of course, I definitely address creating curiosity in there. Mm-hmm. It's super important.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the Brick and Mortar Visibility audience that I did not share or ask you?
Well, if you're okay with it, I'd love to give a little gift for anybody listening.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I do have an ebook that's called Closing the Sale. So it talks about that close language and how to lead the close. And that's something you could share with your team too, by the way. Mm-hmm. So you can download it. It's a PDF. If you just go to yoursalesmaven.com/brick. So this is specific for your listeners. Mm-hmm. I will happily gift that to you and then we'll be connected.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I will share that with my team and on these lovely nuggets that you shared with me today. Thank you so much, Nikki. Everybody, just really check out her podcast or give grab that free gift that she has for us. Thank you so much for your time, Nikki, today. This is really lovely. I knew it would be. I was very excited about it. One thing, just as you as a human right now, we are March 22nd. What is saving you right now in life?
You know, what's really saving me right now is pushing myself to get clarity on what is the most important things in my business and in my personal life that are absolute like have to haves. And what are the things that it's time to like bless and release? I'm working on the bless and release.
Amen. Yeah. My word that my phrase this year is letting go. Oh. And there are some things that I just need to let go. And it's really personally, professionally hard. So,
yeah. I'm there too. I think letting go is a really great word for the year. So I love it.
Yeah. Awesome. Nikki, such an honor and privilege to meet you today. Thank you so much for coming on a Friday afternoon. And everybody else, go check out her podcast, grab the download that she has for us, check out her book. And we will see you all here same time, same place next week. Peace. Bye-bye.
Oh my goodness, you are still here. You are so awesome. So here's what you're going to do. Number one, you're going to click that follow button so that you can get the latest episode of Brick and Mortar Visibility every week. Second, leave an honest rating on Apple iTunes. This is how more people can know about Brick and Mortar Visibility. And number three, come on over to Facebook into the Rebel Women Tribe. The link is in the bio. This is where I hang out and share with you every week the nitty-gritty of running a studio business. I share with you the tips, tools, and strategies that are working right now in my business to help you in yours. It's real, it's raw, it's unfiltered, and it's fun. So come on over. I'd love to meet you.